Anybody out there? Can anybody hear me? Testing. Like, I'm not in my apartment talking to my damn self. LOL. Okay. Hello. Welcome back to Girls Gone Sober. It's been forever and a day since I came to talk to you guys. It's been about 6 months, and I have a lot of fun life updates that I can't wait to talk to you guys about. But first of all, I wanted to say thank you so much for all of the love and the support that we've gotten on this podcast. It's been extremely successful for the, 15 episodes that we put out, and I can't wait to see where we take this thing, especially because so many things have changed since the very beginning of our first episode. Caroline and I decided to start this because we hadn't really heard any type of podcast for girls like us, you know, girls that are sober and they're young and they're still learning how to be a person. I feel like a lot of times when you hear about people getting sober, they are like already through at least a quarter and a midlife crisis, and like we just like got fresh through our quarter lives. So I am very excited to just continue to see where this thing goes. And again, I just wanted to say thank you so much to everybody who has listened from the beginning and who is just joining us on this adventurous shit show of a ride. So if you don't know, now you do. My name is Kyla, and I am 26 years old. I have been sober for 18 months, and that is sober from any mind-altering substances, alcohol, druggies, whatever, all the thingies, minus antidepressants, but those don't count. Because, bitch, I would not be okay, and neither would you. The reality is, sorry, side note tangent. I was talking to somebody the other day about, like, meds, and yes, I take care of myself because I love myself, but the reality is if I don't take my medication, the only person that's really going to suffer is literally everyone else. I take my medication because I care about other people, and I don't want the unhinged bitch that lives inside of me to break out of her shell and be in charge of anything. She is ruthless, and she's terrifying, and I don't like her, and I don't want you to have to meet her, so goddammit, I'm going to take my meds. And if you complain to me about your life being a shit show because you're not responsible enough to take your meds, then I'm just going to tell you to take your damn meds, because Jesus Christ, if you had a heart problem, you would take heart medicine. It's not your fault that you have a brain chemistry imbalance. You didn't ask for it, but take your damn meds. It's your responsibility. Anyways, there's my first soapbox of the day. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Okay, so it is March of 2023. I have moved out of sober living, praise God. I will tell anybody that will listen to me that sober living is the best thing that I ever did for myself. It was horrible and hard and painful, and I hated being told what to do, and I hated the structure, and I hated the discipline. I hated all of it, but goddammit, I needed it. I needed it so bad, and like, I feel like a lot of people don't talk about the reality of what life looks like whenever you decide to change your entire life, you know? Because it's not like I was so set in this is what it was going to be, period. Like I was going to marry this man, and we were going to have these kids, and I was going to work this job, and we were going to live in this place, and this was my life. And when I finally decided to just like, well, I didn't decide. I didn't really decide. It just kind of happened, you know? And I finally surrendered and just gave into the fact that what was going to happen was what was going to happen, and I wasn't in control, and I can't be in control of everything. And learning to let go of that control has really just like changed my whole life and my whole outlook on life, because I get to experience things now. I get to be in the moment now. Nana is close to the end. So for those of you who don't know, Nana is my great grandma. She's a savage. She do not care. Like, you know how they say, like, honey badger don't give a shit? Like, Nana really don't give a shit, and she'll tell you. And I love that for her. And yes, she is a Leo, a July one to be specific. And Nana is at the end, and Nana lives with my mom. And it's been really hard to, like, watch my mom being the caregiver that she is and, like, have to go through losing an extension of her mom because, like, her mom has already passed. And I don't know, it's like not good, you know, because Nana's almost 90 and like she is physically unwell, and she's like inoperable, and there's just not much that can happen. And I don't do well with death or like endings at all. It's just a thing for me. Apparently I have some emotional abandonment issues. I don't know. We're working on it in therapy, but the reality is like yesterday or the day before yesterday, I was at work, which we will get to in a second. I was at work and like these small things were happening and like I could have done things differently and they were impacting me so like aggressively emotionally, like something that's very small. I felt like I was going to shed a damn tear over, and like I'm all for crying. Crying is very healthy, but like there are some things you don't need to cry about, Bessie. And like that, everything that I almost cried about the other day was definitely on the list. And I woke up yesterday and I went to go see Nana. And I realized that maybe it was connected. Shocking, I know. But I called my sponsor and I was like, listen, bro, like I think I'm sad, which is crazy because in my 26 years, I've never been able to just be like, hey, I think I'm sad. Ever, because that was like admitting defeat, or that was like saying that I wasn't strong enough to deal with whatever was in front of me. And that's not the case. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is more important to be vulnerable and to be open and to be willing to like be honest about where the fuck you're at. So that was pretty crazy to me. But I'm learning and about grief and how the reality of grief is like every time you have to reopen that wound, it's almost like I'm grieving everything I've ever grieved before. So like thinking about the ending of Nana's life is kind of putting me at like a fork in the road where I could be extremely selfish and think about like, oh, well, I hope when I die, XYZ, and like it's not about me at all in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. I'm not dying. Nana's dying, and I need to be able to support those around that situation and show up, because that's not something that I could have done in my active addiction. Showing up wasn't happening. I wasn't going to come. I was going to say I'd be there, and I would literally text you probably 10 minutes before said situation happened, even a funeral, and be like, oh, sorry, can't make it. Sorry, my bad. So being able to keep my word has been really, really amazing, and it's definitely been a shift in my life that I didn't know that I needed so bad. But I don't know, grief is a hell of a thing, because when I didn't think that I had anything to grieve, and then I sit back and I think about my life and it's like, bitch, you had a miscarriage. That is definitely something that's a level of grief that nobody really talks about, especially for how often it happens. 50% of pregnancies end in miscarriage. 50%. And it's like, for me, in my brain, if you are growing a being inside of you, like literally I'm growing the kidneys of this human being that's going to live outside of my body, and then I lose it. I've made peace with the fact that it's happening, and then I lose it, and I'm not having that baby. Like, I don't know why in the hillbilly hell I thought that I wouldn't be affected emotionally by that. Like, of course I'm going to be sad, but at the same time, I can be grateful because I know that that is exactly what was meant to happen. Like, I never thought I'd be able to say it. I never thought that I would be in a place where I would be comfortable saying, like, I'm grateful that I had a miscarriage, because I would not have been the parent that that kid needed at that time. I was not the person that I needed to be able to raise a human being in the environment that they deserve to be raised in and loved in, because you can't love anybody until you love yourself. And I believe that includes your children in some level or semblance. I think that you cannot give the kids that you have the level of love that they deserve until you can do something for yourself. You know, speaking of loving yourself, I am the mother of a dog now. I also have kept a plant alive for over 6 months. So in the recovery world, they say like you can't get into a serious relationship until you can keep a plant alive for a year. And usually they say like a fish, but like I went harder and got a dog, because that's what I do. Her name is Honey, and she is the light of my fucking life. I took a stint working at Starbucks, which I felt was a genius idea because I didn't want to work nights. Like, I had all of these ideas of things that I could do to prevent myself from getting fucked up ever again. And working nights was one of them. Like, oh no, if I don't work nights, then I'll never get fucked up. Like, that's not how the world turns, bestie. You can get fucked up at 5 a.m. too. Trust me, I've done it. So I get this job at Starbucks, and it's not that I hated the job. It's just that I'm not a morning person. I've finally made peace with the fact that I'm a night owl as fuck. I will be up until 4 o'clock in the morning, chilling, cleaning my house, taking a bath, walking my dog, hanging out, and then having to turn around and be at work at 5 is just not feasible for me. I'm also a sleep bitch. If I don't get my sleep, I'm going to be a bitch, period. That's it. That's the fucking tweet. So one of these days I was working at El Starbucks, and this lady comes through the drive-thru, and I could see a kennel in her back seat, and I was like, oh my God, is there a dog back there? And she rolls the window down, and this cute little German Shepherd looking puppy thingy was back there, and I was like, oh my God, hi honey, you are so precious. And her ears went down and her tail started wagging and she looked really excited, and I was like, dude, I love your dog. And her name was Amber, and Amber was like, well, she needs a home. She was on the euthanasia list, and I'm her foster, so like, if you really love her, like, you can have her. And I was like, well, she doesn't need a home because she has one with me now. And that's how I got a dog. It was extremely impulsive and very quick, and one of the best decisions I ever made. And I went back and forth with my therapist about this for over a year, because losing my dogs that I lost in addiction, like, that shit rocked me real hard. And I have this like moment of clarity because, you know, a big part of my issues are that I couldn't trust myself. Couldn't trust myself. So making a big decision like getting another living being to take care of was something that I was terrified. And I've been like waiting for everybody else around me to tell me that I'm okay. And I feel like this was a first step in me getting to a place where I can tell my damn self that I'm okay. And I can trust myself enough to make decisions. And beyond that, like, I can trust my higher power to guide me in the right direction. And I feel like it was the best decision that I've made for myself, because I was really like, I mean, I haven't not been on the podcast for funsies. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like, I've been depressed as fuck, feeling overwhelmed, feeling lonely. I moved into the studio apartment. It's 500 square feet. And like, yes, I've always wanted to have that ability to be alone and like learn how to love myself and not feel lonely when I'm alone. And like, yeah, absolutely. I know how to be alone. I'm grateful for my me time. I think it's so important. But on the other end of that, like, I'm still a people person, and I still need physical touch, and I still have the ability to swing the pendulum so hard that like I isolate. And getting a dog has been really helpful for me to go outside, because newsflash, if you don't take your puppy outside, she's gonna shit in your house. So I've had to get into a habit of walking my dog and getting up and taking her outside and having a responsibility outside of myself that also like motivates my personal responsibility to take care of myself. Like, we eat at the same time. Why? Because I don't want her to beg for my food. We go outside. Why? So she doesn't shit in my house, and so I can get some vitamin D, because I was literally deficient of vitamin D since I was in my house so much. I don't know. Honey is amazing. She did try to die on me low-key the other day. She was, like, expelling things that were bloody from all ends, and I was absolutely terrified. And she ended up being okay, but I also had like a whole moment where I was like, oh my God, this is karma. I was a terrible dog mom in addiction, and now honey's gonna die. And like, it just went 0 to 100. And like, was she possibly gonna die? Yes. Like, it was not good, but she ended up being okay. We caught it just in time. I took her to the hospital, which was expensive as fuck. Expensive as fuck. Dogs should be dependents on our taxes. And I mean that with my whole chest. But she ended up being okay, and she looks like a German Shepherd, okay, but she's brindle, and she still has, like, really fluffy paws. Whenever I got her, they were like, oh, she's not gonna get much bigger. She literally, like, could be held in my arms and not be too heavy. Like, I could hold her, and, like, her legs would dangle, but, I mean, am I a big bitch? Yes. Like, I'm almost 6 feet tall, but the point is, she wasn't supposed to be very big, and this motherfucker has doubled in size since I've gotten her. They think that she is a Dutch Shepherd Belgian Malinois, which is cool. She's extremely intelligent. She's so fucking smart. It's ridiculous. And she's also very sensitive. So, like, she's very easy to train, because if I'm, like, absolutely the fuck not, she's like, ooh, okay. Or if I'm like, hey, good girl, like, she'll do it all day long. You know what I mean? She gets the praise gene from her mama. She loves a good praise. What else? Let's see here. Speaking of loving yourself, let's talk about love. So I was listening back to my first episode where I told my story, and I talked about this man forever, okay? And, you know, peace and love, whatever, yada yada. I never thought, when I recorded that, I thought I would never feel like how I feel today, ever. And today I am not comfortable settling. I can see the flaws that were in that relationship. I can see the flaws that I had within myself. I can see the toxicity and the unhealthiness in that relationship. And I can also see that, like, it's not that he never loved me, and it's not that I, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was almost like in my brain, since he did the things that he did, it was because he never loved me, and like all of it was a scam. And that's not true. That's the whole pendulum swinging thing again. I know that he loved me. I know that he loved me in the best way that he could, and I loved him in the best way that I could. And at the end of the day, those were just two loves that were incompatible with two people that were not in a place to be in a relationship continuing. And I feel like after watching the relationship that my parents had, which was tumultuous to say the least, and then going through the relationship that I had with him, which was tumultuous to say the least, I'm having this new understanding of like being grateful for the ability to change my mind. I'm allowed to say no. I'm allowed to say that yes, that is exactly what I wanted at the time, and it is no longer on the fucking list of wants and needs at all. And I'm also learning, like, because, you know, I spoke previously about like having a hard time with endings, like death and all that shit and like grief. I have a hard time like letting people go because I know how it feels to be abandoned, and I never want somebody to feel like I abandoned them, right? Well, if you set boundaries and people cross them, it's not fucking abandoning, it's consequences. It's choosing not to have somebody in your fucking life because they don't respect where you're coming from. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And so, like, being able to have that conversation with somebody else about their relationship is so easy for me. I started asking people if they wanted me to listen or give my opinion or give a solution, because opinions, everybody has an asshole and everybody has an opinion. You can listen to mine all day long, but it shouldn't sway what you decide to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, seeing it from my perspective is my perspective. And be open to perspectives, yes, but my opinion should not determine your life. Because I was the type of person, your opinion determined my life. Whatever you felt, I was like, okay, this is what it is. This is the facts. And learning that I know what I've had and I know what I don't want is so interesting. And so at first I was like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do now that I'm single? Obviously, I'm supposed to have a hoe phase. Where I got the supposed to, I have no fucking idea. But I'm supposed to have a hoe phase. I'm supposed to be out there in these streets. And I think that it was kind of stemming from a little bit of jealousy, because like I chose to be celibate to this man, faithful to this man, whatever. The point is, I only fucked this dude for 8 years. And that wasn't the case on his part. And I think a piece of jealousy in that was like me wanting to go out there and fucking do something strange for literally no change. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to be able to feel like I was sexually liberated. But I was learning that as I was going through that phase, one, I was getting no fucking play. Like, at one point, I thought I was ugly. I was like, what is going on? Like, I know that this coochie is Gorilla Grip 3000 and it's fire. So, like, why is nobody trying to catch it? And I realized it was because I was just willing to accept any quality or caliber of man. And God was protecting me. He was like, nah, sis. Absolutely not. This is not what we're doing. That's not how I built you. Okay? No. So I finally was like, maybe these apps are not it. Maybe. Or maybe I'm doing it wrong. I don't know. The point is, the experiment was failing, and it wasn't happening, right? So I ended up finally having sex for the first time in recovery with a man that I met in AA who was younger than me. I don't know what it is, but I'm looking back at this like little track record situation, and I stay talking to dudes that are younger than me. I don't know what that's about. I don't know why. I don't really know. I don't really know what it is. And it's not all of them, but like it's not like I'm willing to discriminate in any way, shape, or form. Like, I think that all bodies are sexy. I think that all shades are sexy. But yeah, I just had an epiphany. These young dudes are really out here trying to get at me. And I don't hate it. I'm not going to lie to you. But the first one was horrible. With peace and love, RIP to that man's fucking sexual experience with me. It was not good. It was really sad. And we are going to have a sex and sobriety episode. So I'm excited to talk about that, because it's definitely been a ride. But at the same time, I'm learning that it's okay to be sexually liberated. And I think the hardest part for me with that is vulnerability. Because, like, when you are naked with a human being, like, that is the most vulnerable version of yourself that you can share, right? Excuse me. I burped. That is the most vulnerable version of yourself of your shelf, of yourself that you can share. And I don't know why the fuck I thought that after being so emotionally damaged, I could just be out here slinging that thing around. Like, no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's not how it worked, and it didn't work. And so finally I decided to take it at a different angle, and I was like, listen, maybe we just need to spend a little bit more time focusing on me. So I did, and I started doing things to try to find myself attractive. So, like, I would take nudies every day just for me, just so that I could see them and I could see this beautiful body that I have and I could admire it. I would take extra steps in my self-care so that I could really feel like I was taking care of myself. I have been really committed to feeding myself things that aren't going to kill me from the inside out because I love myself enough to take care of the body that I was given. I look in the mirror now. That's new. I never did that. I am willing to accept myself as beautiful just the way that I wake up in the morning. And I also don't shame myself if I want to throw on a little concealer and fucking pop my shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I'm just feeling a lot more comfortable in my skin. And I feel like that has been reflective in my dating life. I did finally go on my first real date with a grown man. And that was great. We went and we got coffee. We went to a coffee shop. I ended up getting matcha because if you don't know, now you know, I'm a matcha girly. And it was actually on January 1st. I had my first date on the first of the year. And it was good. He talked for a long time and he was very self-absorbed. But he was a man, so that's pretty on brand, don't you think? But he was extremely intelligent, and I have learned that I am a sapiosexual as fuck. Talk nerdy to me. Tell me all the smart things in your brain. Just, I love it. I love it when men are so fucking intelligent, and they're not, like, belittling about it, or they don't mansplain things to you. That shit drives me absolutely crazy. But, anywho, we can get into the sexcapades of Kai in the next episode. The point is, I'm in a place where I'm open and I'm willing and I'm receiving and I'm not really knocking anything until I try it. Like, I'm willing to try anything because at this point, like, what other closed-minded things have I committed myself to that I am, like, closing doors on and I have no idea? So there's that. I have noticed, though, whenever people try to get at me, I'm still very quick. Like, I don't know if it's just my what's the word I'm looking for? My intuition or what? But, like, I really be trusting my gut. And if I don't feel it, I don't fucking feel it. And I'm not responding to you. I'm not going to waste your time. I'm not going to do that. I also am quick to block a bitch. Don't talk to me crazy. I will block you. Don't look at me crazy. We have boundaries and we have standards over here. And I'm not bending them for you. Ever. I also am learning that it's okay to communicate, like, what you need with people, and their response is not indicative to you. That's where they're at. It has nothing to do with you. But at the same time, I don't have the right to be fucking pressed or mad or resentful toward anyone if I'm not willing to communicate where I'm at and what I need. So that's been really interesting, too. Like, just all these interesting little lessons. Let's see. I went to school. So that was cool. I was a college girly. I guess this is the episode where my parents find out that I dropped out. Love you, mom and daddy. I didn't drop out forever. It just, like, financially, it's really fucking expensive. And I don't feel super comfortable. Hey, honey, do not eat my weighted blade. No, ma'am. No, no, mommy's way. Stop it. My puppy's so cute, but she's a terror. It's so expensive to go to school. Good Lord, it's so expensive. And it's also expensive to live on your own. Nobody ever tells you about that. Like, there's so many fees when you get an apartment, and, like, you have to pay all these bills all the time. And, like, yes, I know I did it in active addiction, but I also, I don't know. I don't know how we did it. I don't know what we were doing. We just were doing it. And so, like, it's been really overwhelming, and I've had a few moments of, like, serious contention, but I always know that I haven't been dropped yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a higher power out there, and he's looking out for me. I call him a he. Sometimes I call him God. Sometimes I call him Big Jeezy, Big G-O-D, whatever. You get it. The point is, if I do the next right thing and I do what I know is right, then things work out. And tripping about it is never going to fucking get me anywhere. So I talked about school, I talked about my cute little apartment, I talked about my dog, I talked about my last job, which was Starbucks, and now I'm going to tell you where I work now. You guessed it, TXRH. She's back, baby. I told myself over and over and over and over that I was never going to go back to this establishment because that's why I got fucked up. But the reality was, like, that was me not taking responsibility for the decisions that I chose to make at the locations that I was at. And also, the other reality is, your job doesn't get you fucked up, okay? That's not how it works. Going to work didn't get me fucked up. My personal insecurities, my inability to handle conflicts, my unwillingness to grow and to learn and to receive feedback, and all of my trauma, like, there was just, it, the job didn't get me fucked up. I was fucked up. So when I took a step back and I was objective about it, honestly, I went back for money because, like, I know I could serve a table to the gods, honey, and I did, and I made really good, fast cash. But at some point within, like, 30 days, even though I said I was never going to be a manager again, I'm never going to be a manager, never, 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 I couldn't walk through a shift without wanting to help the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't walk through a shift and, like, not be support on the team. And it was getting to a point where I was feeling kind of guilty because I felt like I had to choose between the guest and the staff. And at the end of the day, the guest is the most important person in the building. But the staff also has to be taught how to do things. And, like, these are young kids. And that was one of my favorite things about being a manager previously, is that I have an opportunity at most of these first kids' jobs to teach them and help them grow and impact their lives in a positive way where they can be, one, a productive member of society, and two, learn that, like, when you do good, good things happen. And when you are not accountable and you aren't following your responsibilities, like, you're going to be held accountable. And learning how to navigate that has been really fun, especially in sobriety, because I feel like it's not normal in society for people to have conversations anymore. Like, I'm not going to jump your shit because you're acting up, you bad kid. Like, no. I'm going to talk to you and we're going to come to a resolution. And I don't know. I'm really enjoying that. I love being in the damn restaurant. I love being in the restaurant. I love it so much. I love taking care of guests. I love, 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 love the fast pace. I love the chaos. I love fucking food. And I don't know. I love it. I love being in the restaurant. I'm grateful that I did it. And I remember my number one goal was to be an owner of one of these locations. And, you know, I don't know. I've decided to just stop making big, audacious life goals because I don't know. I don't know. And I have this problem where, like, I attach myself to an idea of something that I'm going to do, and then I go hard at it, and then I decide, like, I don't actually want to do it anymore, and I feel guilty because, like, I don't want to do it, when in reality, like, I said no and God said yes. And at the end of the day, I can fight it all day, but what's meant to happen is going to happen. And time plus pain equals change. And I don't want to go through pain again. So I'm just going to do the next right thing, even if it's something that I feel like I didn't want to do and I didn't need to do, but apparently it was exactly where I was supposed to be. So I'm excited. I love my team. I love my job. I'm one of those weirdos that, like, actually means it. And I don't know. It's also been an interesting experience going into a new place where people don't know my story and they don't, like, they don't kind of know where I come from and what I've been through. So that's been really interesting. Like, yesterday I was talking to somebody and I was like, yeah, on my podcast, and they're like, you have a podcast? And I was like, oh shit, you guys don't know anything about me. Oops. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm very open. Like, I don't have a problem expressing the fact that I'm sober. I don't have a problem expressing the fact that, like, I do not drink, and I'm very, very, very cautious of that. I will not accidentally take a sip of anything. Like, my recovery is the most important thing in my life. And I still have that little twinge of, like, nervousness that somebody's going to judge me or think I'm a loser. And then I remember that I'm almost 30 years old and it doesn't fucking matter what other people think. That's their business and they're allowed to make those decisions. And their opinion has nothing to do with what I decide to do with my life. So it's been really cool. I still am learning about, like, keeping up with serious friendship relationships. And I feel like at the end of the day, I woke up this morning with my puppy and she was snuggling me And, you know, I have a home and I have a job and I have a family and I have my recovery and I have a beautiful life. And I can actually say that I'm happy, which is fucking nuts. Nuck and futz, if you will. It's so crazy because, like, I never thought that I would be here. And even, like, the other day I was cleaning Honey's fucking poop off the patio because sometimes she doesn't make it all the way to the grass, which is fine, but is also crazy and horrible and gross. Don't be the caregiver of anything if you are not willing to get down and dirty. I was sweeping the patio and I was thinking, you know, I never thought that I would be grateful for the hell that I went through with specific people in my life and the way that they treated me, because God damn it, I learned a lot. And now I have the ability to share those lessons with other people in a way that isn't delivered the way that it was delivered to me. And I also, I don't know, like, it's kind of crazy thinking about the people that have walked through this with me and have actually stuck around. Like, my best friend, Sierra, as you guys know, I would literally die for that bitch. But, like, she, to this day, like, I don't know why I thought I would get sober and everything would be sunshine rainbows. But, like, I still have serious depressive moments. I have major depressive disorder that's never going to change. And, like, she will come out of the woodwork and come save my shit, you know. But she also is so impactful to me because she doesn't do it for me. Like, example, the other week, it's probably 2 weeks ago, I just looked up one day and I was not okay, bro. Like, my apartment was a fucking disaster. I had a mountain of laundry. My rent was late. I was feeling overwhelmed. I was in transition between jobs. Honey wasn't feeling well. I was tired. I had just gotten really fucking sick. I wasn't eating. I wasn't drinking water. I hadn't been working out. I hadn't been to a meeting. Like, it just, everything was kind of stacking on top of each other. And she had baby swap. Because she lives in Lubbock and Burley's dad lives in Dallas. And I was like, hey, come to Dallas, please. I'm literally begging you. And she was like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine, quote unquote. But I think I literally said, I need you and I'm fine, quote unquote. And like, literally, that bitch showed up at my house. That is a quality of friendship that I will never, ever be able to replace. Like, there is no one in this lifetime that has been through as much shit with me as Sierra Jalen Burkhart, the fucking third, and I love her. But on the other side of that, you know, she doesn't have the type, we don't have the type of friendship where she enables me, like, at all. She didn't come in here and do everything for me. She sat in my house and, like, talk to me while I did what I needed to do for myself. And God damn it, I'm going to cry. Like, that is the type of support that, like, every best friend needs to have with a best friend. And I'm so grateful for her. And, you know, my other two best friends are my cousins, Tyler and Jalen. And, like, there's a special level of connection that you have with people that are your family and that you grew up with. And I've never known acceptance and love in the relationships that I have with them with any other relationships that I've ever had. Like, I'm always afraid that I'm never going to be enough because I don't make as much money as they do, or I don't, like, do as many things as they can, or my schedule isn't as free as theirs and I don't get to see them as often, or XYZ. Like, example, Tyler is going on a trip. Tyler and Jalen are going on a trip for her birthday to Turks and Caicos, and, like, I want to go so bad, but the reality is right now I'm not in a place where I can just blow bands like that. I have to be responsible. And that doesn't mean it's never going to happen, and that also doesn't mean that they don't love me, you know? Like, I don't know why financial status has been so rooted in worth for me. If you talk to my friend Winter, he would say it's probably because capitalism. But, you know, that's another story for another time. But the reality is, you know, love is so powerful. And I just want to be able to kind of embrace that and share it. And I don't know. The point is, I love you guys and you're amazing. There is another side of recovery that, like, people also I never hear get talked about, and I think it's because I'm on the younger side, but I scared the shit out of my parents, okay? I tried to kill myself, and that was terrifying for them, and, like, they had no idea what was going on, and so I've been very willing to, like, accommodate them and their comfort levels, and, like, I share my location with my parents. This is so crazy. 16-year-old Kyla would have a shit fit. I share my location with my parents. I check in with them. I tell them I'm okay. I check on them, like, all these things, right? And then sometimes I get a little overstimmied, and I put my phone down for a while, and my dad, the other day, my dad called me 4 times. And he was like, and I saw it when I finally picked my phone up, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, as we said, I'm a night owl. And I called him back and he was like, are you trying to give me a heart attack? And I was like, Dad, what are you talking about? And he was like, I haven't been able to get a hold of you. Your location's not on, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, Daddy, chill. I'm good. I'm okay. I love you. I'm good. I saw that it was 1 a.m. and I was trying to respect your sleep schedule. And he was like, your location's not on. My location was definitely on, but he's old and he doesn't know how to work it. So I'm going to have to teach him. But the point is, like, sometimes it's annoying to have people care about you so much. And then you remember that, like, I would rather have that than not have my parents. You know, he was like, I called your mom, which if you know my family, that's a big deal. And I don't know. I love my parents. And I got to choose to be grateful in that moment instead of like, oh, my God, I'm fine. I got to choose to be grateful. And the reality was, like, that was also in the midst of a depressive episode. So he was right. And I was actually a mess. I don't know. I think that it's really beautiful out here in these streets. And I'm grateful AF. And I woke up this morning and I was like, damn it, it's time for a podcast episode. So I'm here and we did it. And I am so excited to try to get back into this little passion project that I have of mine. I do want to do some episodes again about like dating and sex and sobriety and like what it means to be for the streets and what it means to not be, because I feel like that is just a whole fucking room of dragons to go through. I am going to go through my highs and lows for the week. So my highs this week are honey took a solid shit, which is a big fucking deal because we thought that bitch was not going to make it around these parts. Honey took a solid shit and we are grateful. I love my job, so that's a fucking win. And my lows for the week are my gas gauge is still broken and I ran out of gas as an adult for the first time, and that was extremely embarrassing. my other low for the week is that I can't think of one, so that's really awesome and I'm very fucking grateful for that. If you want to follow me on Instagram, my handle is green like the color .kyla, K-Y-L-A-H. I'm not going to tell you how often I'm going to post an episode because I don't want to lie to you and I have no fucking idea. I am willing to take any questions, comments, or concerns at girlsgonesoberpodcast@gmail.com. DM me on Instagram. Ask me any questions you want. I want to talk about what you want to hear. So if you have any topics you'd want me to discuss or you would like any live advice, let me know because I'm really good at giving it. And I hope that you guys have a fan-fucking-tastic day. And thank you so much for listening in to this episode of Girls Gone Sober. My name is Kyla, and I'm so grateful you're here. Y'all be blessed, okay? Love you.